It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. I really enjoy visiting with you early every Saturday morning, and I get a lot of nice emails. I want to remind everyone that you can contact me, and I hope you do. The easiest way is just to go to my website, catfishradio.com, and there's a spot there where it says email Luke, and my email address is very visible right there, and you can fire me an email. You might have a topic that you want to talk about on the show here. If it's about hunting or fishing or the outdoors in general, I guarantee you, you know, if I can't answer a question for you, I can find out who can. But you might have something going on in your neck of the woods that you might want to share with all of our listeners. You know, I have had a busy week in the outdoors this week, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Early in the week, I went down to Groveton. My buddy Mark Billette owns B&C Outfitters down there. And years ago, back in about 88 or 89, Mark was one of the very first people to high fence a big section of woods, hundreds of acres, in Trinity County down there, and stock wild hogs. Actually, there was already a lot of wild hogs on his place. They have a 2,500 acre ranch down there, but he fenced in several hundred acres of just heavy cover, and now he has it stocked with exotics, but there's still plenty of hogs. Well, I had a buddy that I work with in my radio works, Brian Shrum from Tennessee, come down with a couple of his buddies, and they were one of them. It was his first time to hunt hogs, and the other gentleman, Buck, had been down. I think this was his fourth year, and they had an absolute wonderful time. I think they took 10 hogs back with them, and you know, I've been shooting the Darton bows for about seven or eight years now. I love them. But I'm getting to the stage where my 3800 that it's their flagship bow. That's Darton's flagship bow, and awesome bow. I've killed a lot of hogs and exotics and deer, and I've hunted with them. But it's what I've hunted with for the past several years. But the new bow, one of their new bows, is the Maverick 2. And I had one of those shipped down to Mark Billette's place there. Mark is also a bow technician. He has a bow shop on his hunting ranch. And he set that up for me. And instead of 60 pounds, I asked him to set it at 55. I can still pull 60 pretty good, but I'm in my mid-60s, you know. And I can pull 55 a whole lot easier. And I thought, well, why stress these old joints and ligaments any more than they've been stressed in the last 65 years? So I went down a little bit in draw weight. But, you know, this Maverick is still shooting in the high 290s feet per second, about 294, something like that. That's cranked down to 55 pounds. So, and that's more speed than we could muster in any bow back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, unless we were pulling the maximum draw weight we could get. But Mark set that little that Maverick 2 up for me, and we rigged up a whisker biscuit on it. That's your holds your arrow in place, you know, the arrow rest, if you will. And that was the first whisker biscuit that I've ever used. I usually use a fallaway rest, but I absolutely loved it because it keeps the arrow perfectly in place. You know, you don't have to worry about it falling off, or the thing's pretty simple in design. It's just some really stiff bristles that go in around a 360-degree circle there with a hole in the middle, and you slide that arrow in that hole, and it holds it right in place. But Mark set it up for me, and I was doing the shooting, and Mark was adjusting the sights on it. Took about couple of three adjustments, and I had that thing dead on at 25 yards. Well, the first morning that I hunted with it, yep, I'd like to stalk, just get out in the brush and listen for hogs. And when you hear them or hear them traveling, try to get down, circle around, get downwind of them, and have them come to you. And I was able to do that, killed a nice little eater hog that first morning. And Brian Shrum, my buddy, and other guys there, they were out with their rifles. And I think that morning they all got hogs. All of them saw hogs down at Mark's place. Long story short, when they left with, I think, 10 wild hogs between them, and I'd killed two. Killed that one that morning, and then the afternoon I shot about a 35-pound pig. And in just a minute, I'm going to tell you how I cooked him. But the first night there, camp life to me, being around the folks at camp and the camp house, that's almost as much fun. Maybe it is as much fun as the actual hunt itself, you know. But I'd killed a turkey. I think we talked about that in a recent show. I was hunting with a friend up in Palo Pinto County and shot two gobblers, actually. And I took the breast half of one of those gobblers and diced it up really fine and put some, I put some fresh chopped jalapeno and some fresh smashed garlic in there with those turkey breasts, and saturated it real good with Atkins fajita seasoning. Let's see, I put a little bit of lemon juice in there with it and let it set. Actually, it stayed in my refrigerator for about 2 days. And I took that big gallon Ziploc bag of turkey meat down there, put it in my cooker, and cooked up some turkey fajitas with some fresh corn tortillas and some flour tortillas. That was our first night's meal down at the camp. And boy, I want to tell you what, we ate it all. And a big turkey breast half is a lot of diced up meat, I'll tell you, for fajitas. But we all ate about three fajitas apiece and kind of wrapped our day up really good. The afternoon of that next day, I guess it was, about a 35-pound pig come out, and I managed to make a good shot and got some awesome pork. I want to tell you how I cooked that. I brought it home, and I've been using a method in the field. You know, Mark's got a good skinning rack back at his camp, but I watched a video on YouTube. Glenn Guest did a video. He's called the Hog Zombie. And he just simply removes the leg quarters and the back straps in the field, hide on. Just removes the four legs, leaves the hide on. It keeps the meat clean. And then, of course, the back strap, when you're in the field, just lay that right on top of your quartered up sections of the hog, the legs. And that's what I did to this little pig. Brought it back to the camp. We're all a little tired, you know, and put it in the walk-in cooler, the four quarters and the two back straps. And the next morning when I had to come back home, pack up to go home, I just took a fillet knife and, you know, skint those leg quarters and cleaned the meat up really good. So when I got home, I put it in the refrigerator. I thought, let it cool out a little bit more. And the next day, I smoked it in my Smoking Texas electric smoker. I just put a little olive oil on it and some little whatever flavor dry seasoning you like. I use a combination of several different spices, but garlic powder and salt and pepper. Let it cook real slow, and then I wrapped it I let it cook about 8 hours. And I'll tell you what I did with it. I've been telling you all of this preliminary information to get you to this point. I made some of the best carne guisado that I have ever made in my life, and I love guisado. If you're at your Mexican restaurant, if you've never eaten guisado, most all traditional Tex-Mex restaurants have it. Ask for some guisado. It can be made out of pork. They have a different name for pork guisado, but or beef. But ask for the either one is great. But what I did, I took. It sounds like a lot of meat, but I took that whole four quarters of that little pig that weighed about 35 pounds, the two little back straps, and I chopped it all up into smaller, bite-sized pieces, you might say, and put it in a big cast iron skillet with a little bacon grease. Well, I added crushed garlic pods, quite a few of them, you know, maybe four or five pods, chipped up real fine, smashed, you know, one yellow onion, and two jalapenos, seeds in. I didn't remove the seeds because I had a lot of meat in there. I figured the seeds could, you know, help add a little jalapeno flavor. I cut the heat up and brought it all up to temperature and let those onions and peppers and garlic just kind of mesh with the meat that had already been smoked, you know, for 8 hours. The meat, honestly, was not that tender when I put it in the skillet. I mean, it was tender, but not nearly as tender as it was after I got through simmering it for a while. So when the onions were translucent, you know, clear, and the peppers were cooked a little bit, and the garlic was, man, it was smelling good, I guarantee you. I added some cumin, quite a bit of cumin, just powdered cumin, you know. And then I put a little paprika in there with it, some salt. It was pretty, you know, it needed salt. So I probably put, three teaspoons of salt maybe in there with it, and a little chili powder. And then at that point, I diced up some celery in small pieces, about two sticks of celery, two carrots, scraped them, and then cut the carrots up really fine, put them in there with it, and one medium-sized potato diced up, and a big can of crushed tomatoes. And now we're talking guisado now, you know, and cut my brought it all up to a slow boil, then I cut my heat real, real low. I added about 16 ounces of water, put the lid on it with all the vegetables and the meat and the garlic and all that stuff in there, and I just let it slow simmer for about a little over an hour. Now, I would check it, you know, about every 15 minutes. I didn't want it to boil all the water out, you know. I didn't want it to scorch. And it didn't. I'd turn it, go out there about every 15 minutes and take a big spoon and turn that guisado. Well, after an hour and 15 minutes, I guess, something like that, it was very, very tender. So I like to eat my guisado. There's two ways to eat guisado: on flour or corn tortillas, but you have to reduce it down. You have to cook most all the water out of it to do that, so it'll stay on the flour tortilla without running off, you know. So, but I like to take mine and eat it kind of like a soup. So I left a lot of moisture in mine, and then I actually put it in a bowl, you know, and I still have plenty of this guisado left, but I'd put it in a bowl and then heat the flour and corn tortillas. I take those corn tortillas and put a little bit of butter on them, just lightly salt them, roll them up, and have a bowl of that wild pork, smoked pork guisado. I'll tell you, folks, it's really simple. What I'm talking about is not rocket science, but it is really, really tasty. You can make that from domestic pork, domestic beef. You can make it from chicken, I guess, but there's something about that wild pork that just adds a great flavor to it, especially after you take the time to smoke it. Folks, I've enjoyed visiting with you a lot today. Usually we have a guest, but I had so much going on, I thought I would just, give you a little update, and hope all of you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you have time to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.